listening friends. It's Monday, September 16th, 2013. Before I air a recent conversation Pastor Jason and I had with Brent Ressler of the ministry called Small World Connections, a great shout out for my Jesus is the Way prison ministry buddies that helped with the Nature Trail on Saturday. Thank you, Robbie Hodge. Thank you, Ray Littleton. Thank you, Marvin Anderson. They helped get the Nature Trail all ready for our September 28th Testimony and Worship Night around the campfire. You're all invited. Then because we had a lot of hamburgers and hot dogs and all sorts of fixins left over, I mentioned to a few friends who mentioned to a few friends, let's go to Mark Burns's for lunch after church. And so Skip the Bear Chair, Larry Budget Tours Bunning, Matt Slater, the early tribe and friends helped clean up all the leftovers. Stop by my Facebook page, you'll see all sorts of photographs of the 2 days. Let's go right now into our recent conversation with Brent Ressler. So, Jason, you have another friend in from the Peoria area. I guess it's actually Chillicothe. That's right near Peoria. But I know a few weeks ago we had Harold Green in, which is somebody that God used in your life. And this is another individual that God has used that you've seen him at work in a ministry that you appreciate. And you said, Mark, we need to have him in the studio sometime. And I wish you would have told me that he was also a musician and an artist because I was just handed a CD. So I don't know if on this program we'll be able to share some of his music ministry, but that's new knowledge for me. And so maybe we'll have a program just featuring some of Brent's music. But who is this friend from the Chillicothe area that you've known for a long time?
Well, it was a couple of years ago, and my wife and I were acting in a capacity where we were going around and we were training and equipping churches, and we were kind of operating as an encouragement to churches. And I don't know exactly how it happened. Me and Brent can fill in some of those things. But somebody, I can't remember who was the catalyst to us meeting, but somebody said, you've got to meet this guy named Brent. You've got to meet this guy named Brent. And when somebody says, you got to meet this guy named Brent, usually I run it through the grid, like, who told me this? I can't remember who it was. It might have been Bill. Yeah, it might have been Bill or somebody else. I'm not sure. So I met with him at a bookstore. I think it was Barnes & Noble, and we had coffee. But it was a long time. I mean, the conversation was hours and hours long, and we had a long conversation and had many more conversations after that. What really came up, it was funny, was Brent attended the same church we attended. So after I met Brent, all of a sudden I'm like, this guy sits two rows from us, like every week. I've been looking at the back of this guy's head for years.
That's right.
And so just as I got to know him and got to know his heart for ministry, which was almost right off from the go. I mean, we were both asking the same kinds of questions and both spurring on the same kind of question, which I'm sure Brent is, he's passionate about it, so he's going to tell us all about that, and hopefully we're going to catch some of that vision. But I just count Brent as just a close friend. As I said when Harold was here, First John talks to us about this unity and fellowship of the Spirit. And some of us think that in order to be close friends, we have to be around somebody all the time. But you know what? Through Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, I count Brent as a close friend because Brent's on the same gospel mission that I'm on, the same mission to draw people closer to Jesus, to take God's word, God's spirit, and God's people and use those as a catalyst to change this world that we're living in. So I just count it a privilege to be able to introduce my friend, Brent Ressler, to you.
And having you also found that when you meet up with that kind of friend, that maybe it's been a year or many months, that you almost pick up right where you left off and you're in sync right away.
It's true. Thanks for having me today. This is awesome. Had the experience of being on the radio before, but to have Jason set this up for us is really a great thing. We have known each other for several years now, and I think as I look back on what Jason was talking about, you know, just that time where you have different friends saying, hey, you need to meet this guy, you need to meet this guy. I think that happened to me, you know, probably for 6 months before we actually, you know, met and sort of found that, wow, I actually had the experience where I look back at the friends who had not gotten us together and said, how could you be talking to Jason about what you talked to Jason about? And talking to me about what we talk about and not be like, I'm going to get you guys together, you know, because it was one of those moments where it was like I felt like I was speaking to somebody who was, you know, talking the same language that I was at that time. And so, yeah, so I had that same sort of
it's
aha
like crazy
moment.
Language, isn't it?
Yeah. Maybe it's because nobody else understands it. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it was great. And in the process of that, we were at the time in the early stages of our ministry, Small World Connections, and we had the privilege, I think, of having people like Jason become part of our life to help us bounce ideas off of, talk about vision, talk about direction. I think probably in the course of that time where Jason and I were getting to know each other, some of the wording of our vision for our ministry changed. Our mission statement was phrased probably in a different way during that time. And so I was able to bounce those things off Jason and some other friends, people like Harold Green and Bill Allison, and just get their input on those things as well. And so, yeah, just to look back, I can see how God's hand does that in our lives, where he guides us to the right person at the right time. You might think, or I might think, that was too late, but God has it set up to be just the right place at the right time.
And you said our ministry. Does that include your wife, April? I guess you're married 22 years,
yes,
and you have
22.
Three children.
Yeah, three children.
Tell us a little love story.
Okay, my wife, April, we've been actually since high school sweethearts. So I was thinking about this the other day. My first date with her, my mom drove because I wasn't quite 16 yet. I was supposed to wait till I was 16, but they let us.
That doesn't still happen, does it?
No, they don't have to do that. But I look back and I think about those days, you know, that we were in high school together, and my mom drove us on the first date. We went to a movie, you know, and it was one of those times, you know, where I it was like I knew something was going on that was bigger than just that moment. And I remember even telling one of my friends that I think I'm going to marry that girl. You
and
know,
you're like 15, 16.
I'm 15 years old saying, okay, I think I'm going to marry that girl. And there was a lot of peaks and valleys in between then and when we were married, but God definitely had it set up for me, at least, that this woman was going to be a huge part of my life and really be sort of the stabilizer in some of my up and down ways to do things.
So how long after you got that inkling did you share that with her?
I waited a while. It wasn't, you know, it was probably several years into, probably closer to when I was ready to ask her to marry me. I don't want to scare her off too early. But yeah, I mean, I distinctly remember saying that to my friend as we were driving down the road, you know, past her on the road. I'm like, that's the girl I'm going to marry.
You know? And spiritually, where are you at this point? Were you both believers? Or?
Yeah, we were, actually. She had grown up in a family that her grandma took her to church, really made sure she was involved, and she came to Christ at a pretty early age, pretty young. As I did also, my parents at church every Sunday, and through a vacation Bible school, I was able to hear the gospel and understand it and believe. About age 8, I was about 8 years old.
Now, knowing that we have a wide range of listeners, and sometimes our terminology, I know exactly what you mean, but
right,
this coming to Christ or believing, maybe define that a little or explain it, because somebody might be like, well, what does it really mean to be a Christian or to come to faith or to believe? What is that all about?
For me at the time, what it was I had heard the stories about Christ. I had heard, probably could tell most of the stories that you hear, you know, as a child in church. But at that point, what happened with me was I realized that it wasn't about other people. It was about me. And it was actually that Jesus died for my sins. Mm-hmm. And then the idea of grace came in. It was like a flood in an 8-year-old heart that I began to see with spiritual eyes that this was something that he was offering me now. It wasn't just a ticket to heaven. It wasn't just an insurance policy. It was eternal life at that moment. And I believe that that's what Jesus did, and what Jesus does for us is that he gives us life. If it's eternal, it starts then. It's not something we're waiting for one day. We get his presence. We get the Holy Spirit to empower us, walk with us, live with us. And so that when I gather with other believers, you know, I have that joy of knowing that God is there with us.
And it's beyond just a belief system. It begins to be a relationship right away, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we saw that time and again, even as a youth pastor, when I served as an associate pastor, the life change came through that process of Jesus coming to someone and changing their heart. You know, that was the first time I really understood that as even an 8-year-old kid. And my passion even then went toward, I would say, missions in general, because I started to understand that there were people in the world who had never even heard the early things that I had heard. They had never heard the stories of Jesus. They had never had the opportunity to hear what he had done for them, to make that point of decision to say, I want to follow him and experience that life. And so, yeah, even at a young age, I can remember being convicted about missions, but not from a guilt standpoint, not from I need to feel bad that I'm not doing this or I'm not doing that. It was more of an opportunity, like, wow, we as Christians have the privilege of taking this message to other people. Why aren't we finding joy in it? And the thing that always stuck with me, I'll just throw this in, I never was, even as a kid, I think about 10 years old, I can remember this happening. A missionary came and visited my home church. I grew up in Indiana. And they came, and I wasn't so impressed with their stories of sacrifice or everything they were giving up to be on the mission field, say, in Central Africa. what I was impressed by that stuck with me for years was the joy that was obvious, because I saw there's a person who's living the life the Christian's supposed to live, and they've thrown everything else out so that they can experience that. In the process, they get to model and show Christ to people. I can remember thinking that as a 10-year-old, like, hey, they're living the way a Christian's supposed to live, and they're full of joy. They're not bummed out that they don't have a lot of material things. They're full of joy. And I thought, I want more of that. So I can still remember that sticking with me.
Well, Jason, I'm thinking, what a perfect transition or a transitional statement that you could make, because here's an individual that's connecting individuals with various gifts, talents, abilities with mission work that can be done locally or throughout parts of the world. And I know you've been fond of some of the things that have been happening with Small World Connections. You've really thought this is a great ministry that Great News Radio listeners could really benefit by some of the things Brent's trying to accomplish. So I was thinking you would probably transition us right into the Small World Connection comments.
Well, you know what I'd like for Brent to do? Look, when people came to Jesus and they said, tell me about what it is that you do. Tell me about what the gospel's about. You know, they came to Jesus, and what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't run them through a doctrinal statement. Jesus didn't say, now let me tell you about the mission that God's got me on. He said, there's a story about a husband and a wife, or there's a story about a brother, and there's a story about a farmer. And he began to tell stories. And Brent has a story, which is probably one of my favorite stories, and there's even a funny story behind it regarding a football. And I'd love for him to share with the listeners that story, because I think it frames just how God is continually at work in Brent's life. And I know Brent's got bags of stories, because he tells me, you know, I can tell you stories. But this is one of my favorite stories.
Okay. Hey, thanks for asking. This is actually one of those times where I saw God physically show me that He is present. And it came at a time where I was searching for many details of our ministry. I had the privilege of speaking at a church. I'm asked quite often to fill the pulpit at different churches. And a particular church in the Peoria area, I was going back for maybe the third time. Had the preparation for the message and all that taken care of. We were attending a church that met on Saturday evening. So Sunday morning, I was scheduled to preach at this church. So my family and I had already gone to church Saturday. So I was going to get up Sunday and go to this church on my own. So I got up and on my message and was ready to go. And just as I was walking out the door, I realized that my wife would probably not need her car Sunday morning. So I said, hey, can I drive the good car? Because usually I get the beater and she gets the good car. So as I walked out the door, she said, oh, yeah, go ahead and take it. So I changed all my materials and everything I had over to her car and jumped in the car and took off. Well, for this particular message, I was using a football as an illustration, as a prop for my sermon. And in this case, I had it weaved all the way through the whole message. It wasn't just one point. I had actually used the football throughout the message. But on the way up to Peoria from where we live in Chillicothe, I was driving up to this church, and about halfway up there, I realized I forgot the football in a transition from one car to the other. And at that moment, I just had this sort of panic attack of like, man, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to look like an idiot in front of these people talking about the football, and I don't even have it. But through some things that happened previous to that, I was working on this idea with the Lord in my devotions that when we have things that are difficult, trials, tests like this, things we're worried about, things we're afraid of, there are opportunities, actually, to glorify Him by turning it over to Him. I call it flipping it. He gives us an opportunity to flip that situation and turn it from something that's a stress or a worry or a fear and turn it into an opportunity to pray and then see what He does. Well, for some reason at that moment, God just spurted in me to, hey, this is an opportunity to flip this. So I turned off the radio. I had been listening to some worship music on the way up. And I just prayed out loud, and I said, God, you knew I was going to forget that football. You know, it's not surprising you that I forgot that football, but you also know what's going to happen here. So I'm going to just turn it over to you and see what you do. He gave me just a huge amount of peace. I just felt it wash over me. Turned the radio back on, forgot kind of about the whole problem, got up to the church and was able to visit and coffee and donuts beforehand. I'd been there before and knew people. And so about 5 minutes before the service was starting, I wasn't sitting there fretting or wringing my hands thinking, man, what am I going to say when I get to that part of the message? And about 5 minutes before the service was going to start, the sound guy came up to me and said, hey, let's get your microphone hooked up and put the headset on. And so I went over, and they had the kind that's an earpiece that has the little thing by your mouth. And so I was running the wire down through my shirt. And while I was standing there talking to him at the sound booth, just out of the blue, he said, hey, do you have any props today? And I thought, wow, that's kind of weird that he asked me that, first of all. But I had used one maybe another time I'd been there. And so I just said to him, I said, well, you know, I actually had one. I was kind of embarrassed. I forgot it. He got a strange look on his face when I said I was going to use a football. And he said, you were going to use a football? I just saw one this morning. And I said, really? And he took off walking, and I was still running the wire down through my shirt trying to catch up to him. And when I finally caught up to him, he said, yeah, this football, it's the strangest thing. It's been at the church for probably a month and a half, maybe 2 months, and nobody knows whose it is. Hmm. It's just one of those situations where it gets moved all around the church. You know, one person cleans up their Sunday school room and put it in somebody else's. You know how that works. Yeah. And so he said, but I saw it this morning. It's right down here. And he goes down to the end of this hall. I'm following him. And in this little small room, barely a closet, there's a huge copy machine. It's actually their copy room for the church. And I look around the corner, and sitting on top of the copy machine is a brand new NFL football. Hmm. I pictured like a beam of light shining down on me, sitting there waiting for me.
Hallelujah chorus is playing as you walk in the room.
Exactly. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I thought, God, I prayed that, you know, that I would just give it to you and see what you had. And you had this football sitting here waiting for me. So he handed me the football. And as he handed it to me, I was already just, you know, about weak in the knees, about ready to fall over from just God's provision. But I turned the football over, and on the underside of the football, written in black, you know, marker, very dark marker, as clear as day, was the name Caleb. Now, my name's not Caleb, but I was preaching on Caleb that day for my sermon. So there was a football that nobody knew where it came from.
So were the hairs standing up on your arms?
At that point, I almost did fall over. And I told him, I told the sound guy, I said, look, I'm preaching on Caleb today. And he said, well, I guess I better pay attention. And so we didn't really need to say much more than just tell that story that God was, you know, in that moment showing me that you might think you need to figure out your problems. You might think that the best thing to do would be to stop at Walmart and pick one up, or go back to your house and be all stressed out and worried and afraid you're going to be late. Or possibly there's a football waiting for you at that church that has the name of the guy that you're going to preach about. I never preached about Caleb before. There's the first time. Usually it's Joshua and Caleb. That Sunday I was focusing on just Caleb. First time I'd ever done that. And yet there was a football with the name Caleb written on it waiting for me. So when I tell that story, I still get the tingles. But the tingles, you know, for me with that is that it's a reminder to me that there's probably been how many multiple times where I've missed those football opportunities because I try to fix things myself, solve my own problems.
What's really funny is, so Brent tells me that story. We're meeting for coffee, and really it was one of those where the hair stands up on the back of my neck. I'm like, oh, what a great story. So the next Sunday, I'm preaching at this little church in the country, and I use the story. You know, I'm like, and then this, you know, this happened in the life of my friend, and I'm sharing this whole story. Well, Brent goes to the same church about 2 weeks later, and he opens up his message with that story. So listen to me. The girl in the audience text messages me and says, Brent Ressler is stealing your story. And I'm like, no, really, it was his first. It wasn't mine. But it was so funny because I'm like, why are you texting me? Aren't you listening to his message?
She's like, I already heard the story. I don't need to listen.
But what's funny to me is, and I'm going to tell you what, that story, why I want him to share it, because it was powerful when he told it to me, as powerful as I've mulled it over and chewed on it for a long time, is that when something is created, you know, God's the creator and things are created. When something's created, God has a purpose for it. God had a purpose for that football and where it was going to end up. It's radically changed at our home, our dinner prayers. Because when the food that makes it to our tables, we say, God, bless the hands of all the people who brought this here. Because God was at work, and the minute that thing popped out of the ground, the hands that touched it were handling something that God created for a purpose. And the same with that football. Just a reminder that everything starts with God and everything ends with God. And it's not about us. It's about God and how he's going to glorify himself through the work that we do. And through that football, I mean, that football story has blessed so many people. But I think it's indicative of the way that God has showed up in terms of your ministry, too.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and that, I think for me at least, one of the things that happens is you don't notice those things along the way, usually. But once in a while, God gives you, I call it pulling the curtain back. Hmm. He pulls the curtain back and sort of gives you a glimpse and says, I got it covered. You know, I'm here. But we made the decision, you know, over 5 years ago to step out of full-time pastoral ministry to start our ministry that we're doing now with Small World. And that was a time that, you know, we decided to trust that he was going to provide. And I can't thank him enough for all the little reminders along the way when he's done things like that and said, you know, I am with you. And if you are following me, I'm going to show you that I'm with you. And it's not going to be an accident that those kind of things are there waiting, that they are provided for you, that I had that detail worked out for what's best for you.
Yeah, Jason knows this about me. I have a couple very specific similar stories that only God could have orchestrated and put together, mm-hmm. and knowing exactly my temperament, my mindset, how I would think through certain things and how he's answered it very specifically in a means or a method beyond what I could have ever imagined or believed. And it's kind of like my default. I think about that all the time. If I'm, I don't know if I'm wavering or if, sure. I'm questioning or if I'm confused or, sure. if I'm like, God, are you big enough? Because it's like my Red Sea parting. Mm. I think about it all the time and I'm thinking, God did it then. He can do it at any time. And it's not a big deal for God to do these little things because he can do anything he wants. And yeah. it's so great you have that football reminder always to cling to say, hey, God, you were so specific then. I know you can do it again. Forgive me for being maybe a little waffling on my faith or right. being a little confused today.
Well, what is the story of the Passover? I mean, the story of the Passover every year for the Jewish people is the story of how God interceded into their life and called them out in this miraculous way. And they gather every year and they tell the story of how this happened. And sometimes I think as families, we need to reclaim the art of getting around the table and telling the football story every year and telling the stories about how God has come into our life every year. Lest, I think the Bible tells us, we'll forget him.
Yeah, we do. We have very short spiritual memories. Sometimes we don't have good spiritual eyes, good spiritual ears, but we also have short-term spiritual memories.
I know we're almost out of time, and I know this has been a practice, Jason, that you've had for a long time. You talked about, you know, where you've kept checks and artifacts and photographs, and you have them in many folders. I know Karen Harrison, our office manager, has like a whole journaling where the family gets together and they recount, you know, the miraculous ways God has made the provision or the answer to prayer and so forth.
Great.
And I know there's so much more to say and share about Small World Connections, so let's at least get the website out there, smallworldconnections.org, smallworldconnections.org. We're going to keep you in the studio. We're going to talk about how your goal and desire and passion is to help churches connect with missions, and there's many different ways that that can be accomplished for the individual that wants to use their skills, their abilities to further kingdom work, maybe overseas, maybe on the missions field, maybe helping a mission project somewhere, or maybe even a local soup kitchen, or different ways where they can connect their gifts, their skills, their abilities with mission work.
Yeah.
And we also want to talk about Philippians 2:20-21, that whole passage of how God's used that in your life. Maybe tomorrow morning we'll open up the program with that verse, having you read it and sharing, and a little more of that love story with April's role with Small World Connections. So smallworldconnection.org, smallworldconnection.org, and maybe we can even talk about the CD I have in front of me, Brett Ressler, What Gives? I like that title, and it's an old-fashioned microphone here, and maybe we'll play a cut or two from that CD. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.